All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, speaking to you on January the 24th, 2017. I'd like to remind each of you that I am also the author of a newsletter, Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. And you can subscribe to my letter by going to miningstocks.com, miningstocks.com. You can call us here in New York at 718-457-1426, 718-457-1426 during normal work hours. As I mentioned before, Chen Lin is no longer working directly with me. We are no longer providing back office services to Chen Lin, but you can sign up for Chen's letter at chenpicks.com, chenpicks.com. Chen and I remain really good friends. We'll trade ideas from time to time, investment ideas from time to time. I really have a high respect for him and his work ethic. And so you'll be hearing from Chen from time to time on this show. He'll be a guest now and then, and you'll probably get some of his investment ideas through me as well. But if you want to really take advantage of Chen Lin and his expertise and his genius, go to chenpicks.com. And I do want to thank each of you for listening to this show and making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. And I'd like to encourage you to send along your questions, comments, criticisms, and praises to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. We do want to thank our sponsors for today's show, making it economically viable. They are DynaCert, Gold Predator, that is Golden Predator, Chilean Metals, RN Resources, and Novo Resources. And in fact, we'll be speaking to the CEO of Chilean Metals in just a few minutes after our first commercial break today. I've titled today's show, Is Trump America's Last Chance for a 1776 Revival? Richard Mayberry and Michael Oliver return. Michael will be with me just in a minute or two here. And Patrick Cruikshank, he'll be with us for the first time. He is the president and CEO of Chilean Metals. Prior to the election, Jim Rickards opined on this show that Donald Trump may be the last chance America has to return to its 1776 roots as a republic. Well, I don't know if that's what Trump has in mind or not. Certainly, when Jim Rickards mentioned that to us on this show, it didn't seem as though the odds were that great for Trump. But with the unexpected happening, we're going to ask Richard Mayberry at around half past the hour, why the basis for a true revolution and a return to the values of our founding fathers may or may not actually be in place. I want to hear what Richard has to say about that. A lot of other ideas he has related to Trump's policies and seemingly what some people are concerned about, policies that would hinder international trade. Well, to be sure, there are big differences between now and 1776 that could certainly derail any efforts that lead us towards the ideals of our founding fathers. But we do want to get Richard's ideas on that, and so I look forward to talking to Richard about half past the hour. And as I said, Patrick Cruikshank will be with us in just a few minutes to talk about what are some very highly prospective iron oxide, copper, gold exploration targets in Chile and Nova Scotia. And for a company that has a market cap of just $12 million, if they were to hit on one of those targets that they have and hit something really significant, obviously the stock could rise to many, many, many fold over where it is currently selling. But of course, If I Had Wings, I Could Fly. We'll talk to Mr. Cruickshank to get his views on and find out what he's planning to do with Chilean metals. Excuse me. But now, I'm really happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with us once again. Thanks, Michael. Thanks for joining me.
Great to be back, Jay.
Missed you last week, but you're back, and understand you were doing a little acting or involved in some video or some production.
My son made an independent film, and I had a minor role. So.
Okay. Anyway. Well, maybe you'll be a movie star in your retirement.
Yeah. Well, in I can quit this business and go into film. Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, I think you'd have to be a darn good actor to justify quitting this business because of your success in this business, Michael. And I think there'd be a lot of unhappy people if you chose to exit your technical analysis. It's OliverMSA.com, folks, OliverMSA.com. Go there to learn more about Michael. Well, Michael, gold is really holding up quite well. You were talking recently, I think you suggested maybe in December sometime, that if we could close above 1190 any month in the new year, or I guess above 1190
in the new year.
December.
Yeah. That's right.
Any time above 1190 in the new year, that would be a pretty bullish sign. That's what you're still thinking?
I still think that, yeah. I think any monthly close back above the three-year average, which is 1190.17 to be precise, so we'll look like definitely an arm up over the wall and indicate that the low is of that scary sell-off for most is in place, and therefore the only issue is what's the rate of increase. However, I suggest this. Well, MSA, Momentum Structural Analysis, always looks across asset categories, and we often find linkages. And right now, I would say the more important technical for gold is not gold itself, but is the euro and the dollar index. And the euro traded yesterday and today up close to 108, not quite touching it, now trading around 107.50. If you get the 108, that is very bullish for the euro in our view. It takes out last year's momentum high on an annual oscillator. Now, last year's price high was up around 115 plus. So I'm talking about price. I'm talking about our momentum studies. Now, the dollar index is the opposite, which is 57% comprised of the euro. So the euro is effectively, the dominant factor in the dollar index.
Mm-hmm.
Dollar index recently beat its chest, punched through a two-year high at 100.50, got up to 103.50, and traded recently back down into the 99s. Now, with that recent euro strength, if the dollar index gets to 99, I'm talking the cash index, not the futures version, especially a monthly close there or lower, I think it's a bear market at that point.
Wow.
We were bullish, we flip-flop, so we were bullish in 2011 when the dollar was in the 70s, and we projected a high of 100, and that's where it got to in 2015, and again in 2016. So the recent protrusion on the price charts out above 100.50 excited a lot of people, but did not excite us, because from a momentum point of view, when we measured on our oscillators, it did not make a new high. Price did, but momentum laughed at it. And now we've slumped off back under the 100 level or around there. So, again, about 1 point below the market on the dollar index, it breaks a 10-year momentum uptrend. That's very significant.
Okay, wow.
If those two events occur, euro up, dollar down, regardless of where gold is, I would assume gold's going with it, upside. So I would look, if I'm a gold person, I would start looking more at the euro and the dollar index than I would at gold.
I see.
Okay.
Well, and as I look at the index right now, Michael, it's 100.35, and so we're talking about less than 1.5% down, and we break through.
That's correct.
Wow.
And I think if you see those numbers, I think you should assume that gold, which is, after all, rebounded $100 from its recent low during a four-week period, from 1123 low to a 1220 high, which occurred like the other day, is saying, that was it. And especially if you can close a month out above 1190. But the issue is that additional spark. Remember, gold's done a lot of good for itself, especially gold miners, which are now about 23, 24 area versus last year's low at about 13 on the GDX. That they've done this without dollar help.
Yeah.
The dollar's not been weak during that period of time. Imagine if the dollar got weak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, that would be like supercharging gold. So I'm very much focused on the dollar index.
Yeah, and the gold shares have really outperformed the bullion, and you expect that to continue?
I can expect that to continue. I think gold, you watch, you monitor it, and so forth, but it's not the best vehicle this time around. I think the gold miners remain the best vehicle.
All right, with a couple of minutes left, I know you've also turned a bit more cautious on oil. Would you care to comment on that just for a moment?
Oil had a great year last year, 45% gain. I think right now we're trading in the 53 area. It wouldn't shock me to see it in the upper 50s before it's over. And I think I would view that move from $26 low to, let's say, a $58 high, when there's something in the upper 50s would be satisfactory, to be the first leg of a long-term recovery process. But after getting there and after being the leader in the commodity asset category last year, I think it'll be replaced this year by the food commodities, the growing commodities, meats, grains, cotton, things like that, have a far better chance to have large percent gains this year, matching what oil did last year. But oil looks like it's going to have its work cut out for it this year, though I still think there's more upside in the immediate horizon. But I'm suggesting to people who got long last year, as we suggested, it's time to be thinking about exiting, not adding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Well, and with regard to the grains or to agriculture in general, I know you sort of track Moo, which is an ETF that covers the agricultural sector. And is that looking pretty bullish to you now?
That looks good. There are futures-related ETFs, DBA, which is the agricultural futures, which includes meats and grains. Then there's the JJG, which is simply grain futures.
Uh-huh.
Those are probably the most potent ways to participate, unleveraged. But in the stock sector, meaning stocks that deal with agricultural issues like Monsanto and Agrium and potash and so forth, the Moo represents those stock symbols. And I think it's going to both outperform the S&P going forward and, two, probably even go up in price even if the S&P goes down. And I think they'll those stocks, like emerging market stocks as well, will benefit from a commodity price rise. And so
look
at that ETF, Moo, M-O-O.
All right. Well, we'll try to do that. That's an interesting way to play and an easy way for retail investors to play this sector, probably. Thank you very much, Michael, for being with us. You're always so welcome, so happy to have you with us. We're really pleased that you could be with us once again, and all the best. Hope to talk to you again next week. All right, folks, we're going to go to commercial break. Don't go away, though, because Patrick Cruickshank will be with us to talk about what I think is a very exciting speculative venture looking for gold and copper, iron ore, etc. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Patrick Cruickshank.
Auren Resources is a Canadian-based gold exploration company focused on the company's flagship Committee Bay project, located in northern Canada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. The company's current resource, outlined by drilling thus far, stands at 1.1 million ounces of gold at over 8 grams per ton. Auren is operated by the same team that founded Asanko Gold, which is constructing a major gold mine in West Africa, and Caden Resources, which was recently purchased in November for over $200 million.
Golden Predator Mining Corp., a well-financed gold exploration company operating in Canada's Yukon. Focused on advancing its Three Aces project, a high-grade gold project located in the southeast Yukon with gold and quartz outcrops at surface. Ongoing work includes trenching, roadwork, drilling, and bulk sampling. Golden Predator also holds the past-producing Brewery Creek project located near Dawson City, Yukon. Golden Predator, a company working closely with Yukon First Nations. Golden Predator trades on the Canadian Venture Market as GPY, and in the U.S. OTC market as NTGSF.
Chilean Metals is a Canadian junior exploration company focusing on high potential copper, gold prospects in Chile and Canada. Chilean Metals' Zulima property is a Candelaria-like prospect, one of the largest mines in the world. The company has begun its drill program in Chile on its Zulima property and should be completed by the end of February. We also own a 3% royalty on future production on Tech Resources Copa Query property, potentially worth millions of dollars annually. This is the time to invest in Chilean Metals, a discovery story with a hedge. Traded TSX Venture under symbol CMX.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.